We're going to talk about that today. This is, once again, it has to do with the discussion I'm trying to have with a family member. I haven't heard anything lately. So what I do is I put this stuff up on the website and I send the email address. And it's there if you want to read it. And I'm still waiting to see what the reaction is. But one of the things that when I talk to people, they quote this a lot. Who God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall have everlasting life. And Thomas, what do they usually mean by believe?
That they believe that there is God. They don't believe what's written. Just believe that if you believe God, then you're saved. You don't have to be baptized.
Just believe.
Yeah.
Is that what believe means here? I don't think so, because that's what we're going to talk about. What does the Scripture mean when it says, whosoever believes in him? Well, first, what is belief? The family member I was trying to talk to said that it means that belief means to believe with your whole being. So if you ask them what it means, they'll tell you, Thomas, just believe with your whole being. What does that mean? It doesn't, does it? It doesn't really mean anything. The statements they give me is that I believe in him and I believe in the Scripture. Well, they're obviously using a different word or a different meaning for believe than what I get out of Scripture, and that's what we're going to talk about. Their statement, I believe in Jesus Christ and I believe the Scriptures, what group that calls itself Christian would say the exact same thing?
All of them.
Doesn't every group that calls itself Christian, and I'm talking about every one of them, Mormons included, don't they say they believe that there's a Jesus Christ, and they believe that Scripture contains God's Word? Well, if you use your common sense, how many of these people who say they believe in Jesus Christ and they believe the Scripture, how many of them teach the exact same thing? Not one of them. All of them say the same thing that they believe, but how many of them teach the same thing? Not one. They all teach things different. Well, can all of them teach things different that they believe with their whole being? Isn't that what she said? Can every group calling themselves Christian teach the things they believe with their whole being and all of them be correct? No. So, what does believing with your whole being have to do with it? Not a thing. Doesn't mean a thing. Belief has something completely different in mind. Did the people that Jesus talked about that would say, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful things? And did we not cast out demons? And did we not do any wonderful works in your name? You know what I'm talking about? Did those people believe with their whole being that Jesus was the Son of God? Sure they did. Lord, Lord. Did they confess his name?
Yeah.
Lord, Lord, look at all we've done in your name. The people that call themselves Lord, Lord, believed with their whole being, and they proved that they believed by the powerful works that they saw themselves do. What did Jesus say to them? Don't know you. So is it possible for people to call themselves Christian, call Jesus Christ Lord, and believe with their whole being, and have the wonderful works to prove that what they believe is true? Is it possible for all that to happen and these people still be told by Jesus Christ, I don't know you? Yep. So how important is it that we know what believe means in that verse, John 3:16? I think we nearly need to talk. We need to make sure that we understand what believe means. Does believing something with your whole being accompanying examples of powerful works mean that you know the truth? No. Believing something, even with your whole being, does not mean that you believe the truth. The people who said, Lord, Lord, believe with their whole being. Did they believe the truth? No. It's a whole different thing. They were told to depart from him. They didn't understand whosoever believes in him shall have everlasting life. That's why we're going to talk about it. Now, the first way that people teach believe, they teach believe, if you want to define it, what does... If those that believe in him shall have everlasting life, they say believe means accept as a fact. Isn't that what they mean by believe? If I believe something, you accept it as a fact. Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and He crucified for my sins, and He rose from the dead on the third day, and I accept all that as a fact. Therefore, I believe in Him. Did the Lord people accept as a fact that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, crucified on the cross, rose from the dead, and was coming back? Sure they did. They called Him Lord, Lord. They knew who Jesus was, and they considered themselves disciples of Jesus Christ. Did what they believed have anything to do with the truth? No. Did they understand what believe in Him means? Nope, not even close. Believe as acceptance of a fact can never be the meaning of believe in Scripture. That is, it can't be, because all you have to do is read Scripture. James cut down that notion in his letter. In James 2:19, James says, "You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder." This is shown many times in Scripture. Mark 3:11, where whenever the unclean spirit saw Jesus, they would fall down before Him and shout, "You are the Son of God." Did they accept as fact that Jesus was who He said He was?
Yes.
So they're saved, right? Well, they fell down in front of Him and confessed His name. I thought that was all you had to do, Thomas. Well, how many people think that whosoever believes in Him shall everlasting life just means to accept that He is who He is as a fact and fall down and proclaim Him Son of God? Does that save demons? No. Because people don't understand what believe means. How many think that believing in Him in John 3:16 is just proclaiming Jesus to be the Son of God and obeying Him completely? Yeah. You know what the demons did after they proclaimed Him Son of God? They obeyed Him completely. Didn't they? He said, "Come out of them. Leave them." What'd they do? Yes, sir. So wait a minute. They accepted as a fact that He was Son of God. They proclaimed Him to be the Son of God, and they obeyed His every word. How many people think that that's how you say it? Were these demons saved? So believe has something completely different in mind. It does not fit what Scripture says about belief. Well, people would say, well, it's different if a human being proclaims Him as their Savior because He didn't come to save demons. Okay. John 3:16, God so loved the world. He means people. God so loved the world, meaning people. So when people believe that He's the Son of God, they'll have everlasting life. How's that argument? Well, let me read you something. John 12:42. "Nevertheless, many even of the rulers of the Jews..." Would those be people? Okay. "Many of the rulers of the Jews believed in Jesus, but because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing Him for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue." Did they believe? Did they accept as fact Jesus was the Messiah?
Yes.
That means they were saved.
No.
No. Why not? Right? So it's confessing is the problem. Believing is okay, but you got to confess. Is that the problem? Is that what believe means? Apparently so. As you read through this, you keep finding more stuff that believe means. Compare that believed in Him in John 3:16 to whosoever believes in Him. That's the same words. What does believe mean? Yeah, but the main thing is, people want to say believe means accept as fact. Did these rulers accept as a fact Jesus was the Son of God? He was Messiah.
Yes.
Did it mean anything to their salvation? No. So the first thing you can cross out is that believe in John 3:16 means accept as a fact. You can cross that right out. And John 12:42 confirms the idea. So believe cannot be accept as a fact. The rulers accepted the fact that Jesus was who He said He was. Demons accepted the fact that He was who He said He was. But that is shown to be insufficient for everlasting life. Therefore, John 3:16, believe in Him, cannot mean except as a fact. Everybody follow that? So we're going to have to keep looking. The next thing, believe, they're going to say, okay, believe is not just accepting as a fact. The rulers wouldn't do anything about it. So believe means action based on fact, what you believe is a fact. Because they accepted Jesus Christ was the Messiah, but they wouldn't confess Him because they were afraid of the Pharisees. Therefore, believe, John 3:16, to believe means not just to accept as a fact, but to act on that fact. How's that? Does that work? Well, let's take a look here. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. Thomas, if you call Jesus Christ Lord, what do you mean? What does that mean? He's just a good teacher. No? What are you calling Him when you say Lord?
He's the King. He's
the Son of God. He's God. So, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. Those who say Lord, Lord, do they believe that Jesus is? They accept the fact?
Yes.
Are they acting on their belief, calling Him Lord, Lord?
Yes.
Yes. Well, that's it. That's all you need, right?
No.
Well, let's finish the verse. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, that is, accepts that I am who I am as a fact and then confesses that I am, but will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Okay? So to believe and confess Him as Lord does not meet the standard of whosoever believes in Him in John 3:16. Right or wrong?
Right.
That's right. Because just believing He is the Lord and confessing Him to be the Lord with your tongue, He says, those won't go. It's whoever does the will of my Father. Therefore, it is he who does the will of my Father that enters in. What did the people saying, Lord, Lord, consider God's will? He said, only those doing the will of my Father will enter the kingdom. Those who said, Lord, Lord, have we not done this and have we not done that? What did they consider to be God's will for Christians? Huh? The actions they believed was to cast out demons, miracles, and to prophesy miracles, and to perform many powerful works. Miracles, dunamis is what it means, many powerful works. What did they think that the actions that follow God's will for Christians, what did they think it was? Miracles. Casting out demons, prophesying, performing many wonderful works. What did Jesus say? Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Now, Tom, are you telling me if Jesus came back today, He would point at all the miracle workers and all the tongue talkers and all the healers and all the faith people that use faith as the means of powerful works of healing and tongues and prophecy and all that? Would He point at all those people and say, you workers of lawlessness? Well, that's just crazy, isn't it? Those people believe in Jesus Christ, they confess Him with their tongue, and they're performing powerful works of miracles that prove that they're right. Why are you shaking your head?
They're not doing the Father's will.
That's right. That's exactly right. Are these people who are casting out demons and healing people and performing wonderful works, are they doing God's will so they can enter heaven?
No.
No, whose will are they doing? That's the problem. They're doing their will. If you do your own will, even if it's everything that you think God would be pleased with, what does Jesus say to you? Don't know you. Did they consider themselves believers?
Yes.
Would they say that they met the standard of believe in Him in John 3:16?
Yes.
Jesus says otherwise. What do you say?
Yes, sir.
Believe, but it has to mean something else. Did they believe in Jesus? Yes. They confessed Jesus? Yes. The things they did, Jesus said, was lawlessness. He says He never knew these people that believed and confessed Him. Is believing with your whole being part of their problem? No. They believed with their whole being. Was confessing with their mouths Jesus is Lord part of their problem? No. They did that perfectly well. What they considered God's will was their problem. How do you know what God's will is, Thomas? Let me explain it to you. Because, you know, I'm a teacher. Let me explain God's will to you. You'll have a feeling in your heart. Something will happen. You'll accidentally flip open a book and notice a word, or you'll open the Bible at random and a verse will jump out at you. Or somebody will say something that triggers a verse in your head. This is how you know the will of God. And once you get that in your head, you pray and you use your heart, and you let your heart tell you what God's will is for you. Now, God's will for Lisa, and God's will for Tony, and God's will for Josh, that's all different. But your heart, because of unusual circumstances that triggered this, your heart is going to tell you what God's will is for you. Right?
No.
How many people teach that?
Most.
Huh?
Most.
When they talk about God's will, how many of them say God's will for you? You know, if the person's a Baptist, God's will for them is different than God's will for you. God's will for a Methodist is different. God's will for everybody else is different. You're the one, your heart's going to tell you what God's will is for you. Is that how the Lord people did it?
Yep.
What did it get them?
Nowhere.
Thomas, once we understand that it's not, you know, random verses or, you know, memories triggered or any of that nonsense, and we know it's not our heart that tells us God's will, what's the only other option? You can't understand the Bible.
No, you
can. No, I understand. You can't. You know, I don't have an interpretation or opinion of the Bible. I know what it says. You're the ones that have an interpretation and an opinion. See, I know the Bible says God's will for me is one thing, God's will for you is another. I know that. What's your problem? What's your problem?
It's you.
Huh? Yeah. You Church of Christ people, I just can't stand you Church of Christ people. You're so stubborn and thick-headed. Why can't you just let your heart guide you? Well, yeah, your heart's wicked. I knew that. That's why you listen to me. My heart tells God's will, and you listen to me, and I'll tell you God's will for you.
So yours is not wicked?
No. No, I'm a good person. God told me so. Am I making this up, or is this pretty much?
That's it.
People live like that. Does it make any sense to anybody sitting here? No. Why does it make sense to them?
That's their will.
Exactly right. Their eyes are shut and their heads are covered, like we talked about in class this morning. How does one get to know God's will in order to do God's will and to meet the standard of believing in Him? Where's God's will spelled out? In the Bible. Well, the Bible means one thing to me, Thomas, and the Bible means one thing to you. Don't you force your idea of the Bible on me, and I won't force my idea of the Bible on you. Isn't that fair? Now we can just get along. Isn't that God's will, that everybody just get along? Right?
It's God's will that we love each other.
Right. And that's, you know, love saves us. Right? Because my heart told me that. Why are you laughing? Why do you think this is funny? Well, the first thing Thomas is going to do is go, oh, one, it means one thing to me and one thing to you. Come here, let's go to Galatians chapter 1. If anybody tells you anything different than what we told you, let me add to that. If an angel tells you anything different than what we say, they're accursed. Now, put that next to the Bible means what it means to me, and the Bible means what it means to you. Is that God's will? No. What does that get you? Cursed. Well, that can't be God's will. God's love. God wouldn't curse me. What does it say? That's your opinion. See, all you have to do is to know God's will is spelled out for everyone exactly the same. There is no different. If somebody tells you something different, they're accursed. Isn't that easy? It seems to be easy. So these people, They were prophesying and casting out demons and performing powerful works because they believed and acted upon their beliefs to follow their Lord Jesus. But what did they not know? God's will. The whole problem here is, how do you know God's will? It's got to be this book. So believe cannot mean action based on fact. What does it have to be action based on? There you go. Believe, it has to be action. Doesn't it have to be action? Yes, it has to be action based upon God's will. So when it says, believe in Him shall have everlasting life, what does believe mean? When you believe in Him, believe has to mean, unless Scripture's wrong in other places, which I don't accept, it has to mean that belief equals actions that you take based upon God's will. Anything wrong with that? No, it seems to me that that's the way it is. The whole point of that action is trust. God says, this is the way it is, and whatever action we take shows whether we trust it or not. That's what the word believes in the Greek. We always think the Bible is written in English. The Bible is written in Greek. Believe, pistuo, it means to be persuaded, to be confident, and to trust. So to believe in Jesus Christ, does that mean accept as a fact that He's the Son of God? No. What does it mean? Trust Him. That's what it means, trust Him. Well, I do trust Him. I accept Him into my heart, and I said the sinner's prayer, and now I'm saved, Thomas. That means I trust Him. Why are you shaking your head? Did the Lord people trust Him? What happened? I don't know you. This is the problem. People whosoever believes in Him, they want to say it just accept as a fact, or action based on what you accept as a fact. God's will is, you know, different for you than it is for me. All that stuff is nonsense. Whosoever believes in Him, what they forget is the rest of that verse, verse 18. Those who believe are not judged. Isn't what you read, Thomas? Those who do not believe are judged already because they have not believed, what is that? In His name. Wait a minute. Why, if believe in Jesus means trust in Him, why would believe in His name? Wouldn't that mean trust in His name? What does that mean? Trust that His name is Jesus? What does believe in His name mean? Well, I believe His name is Jesus. I believe in that. Is that what it means, God? What does it mean? You're going to have to explain it.
It means believing that what He has written in that in the book.
Well, yeah.
Is what we need to
do. What's His name got to do with it?
His name is believing in God, the Son of God.
Now you're getting there. When He gave the Great Commission to the apostles, not us, He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, right? Mm-hmm. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What does that mean?
They have to do that baptism.
And the word in English, in Greek, it's ace. It's into. You believe into the name. Baptize them into the name. What does that mean? See? All you got to do is pay attention, and the whole thing explains itself. What does in His name really mean? Going to all the world, baptizing them in the name. Into the name. How is one placed into another's name? Well, Thomas, that's pretty smart shrewd on your part. The only way I know to place one into another's name is a legal ceremony. Adoption, marriage. The only way, can anybody think of any other way, where you take the name of another person other than a legal ceremony, adoption or marriage. Anybody? So when you believe into the name, and when you're baptized into the name, you take the name. Well, can't I just call myself Christian, Thomas? Doesn't that make me Christian if I call myself Christian?
No. You can call yourself whatever you want, but that don't make it.
What if another woman called herself Mrs. Harper?
Somebody's in trouble.
What if another woman who knew you and just admired you and thought you were great, she was signing all of her checks, Mrs. Thomas Harper, and she told everybody, I'm Mrs. Thomas Harper. That's okay, right?
No.
Well, it shows her admiration for you. It shows that she loves you and thinks you're great.
If she loved me, she wouldn't do that.
Well, what's wrong with her calling herself Mrs. Thomas Harper?
She's not Mrs. Thomas.
Why not?
This one.
Well, she just calls herself Mrs. Thomas Harper.
No, there was a ceremony.
Huh. So there's, you're saying that you can't take somebody's name without a legal ceremony.
Right.
So what is baptism?
The legal ceremony.
Where you take the name. Mm-hmm. See, this is what the whole point is. What is God's will for us in Jesus Christ? To work miracles and speak in tongues and cast out demons and heal. Is that His will for us? Or is His will for us to take His name and trust in that name? You know why Lisa is confident that everything you have is also hers? Why is she confident? Because she can whoop you if she feels like it? Yeah. Because she has your name. Why should we be confident that we have righteousness and salvation and eternal life? Because we have His name through a legal ceremony. Isn't this easy? This is so simple. If you just think about what the book says. Say, what? Oh, I thought somebody said something. This is spelled out in Ephesians 5:31. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Is that what happened to you, Thomas?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you became one flesh because you loved each other?
No.
You respected each other?
No.
You accepted her as your wife in your heart?
No.
Why? How did y'all become one flesh?
Terrible.
Now, wait a minute. Are you telling me, because this says God joins them together. What God joins together, let no man separate. Are you telling me that man can perform a ceremony that causes God to do something in eternity?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
So when you had a man perform a ceremony, a legal ceremony, on you two, God joined you together as one.
Yes.
Anybody not understand that? Okay. Now let's read the rest of it. The two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Paul says in exactly the same way that two become one flesh, man and wife. Isn't that what he just said? This mystery is great, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. The same way God joins a man and a woman to one flesh, and how does He do that? Love, acceptance, faith. How does He do it? Legal ceremony. The one way God joins a husband and wife together in one flesh, He says it's exactly the same way with the church. So what is God's will for us in Jesus Christ? The legal ceremony, baptism, for us to take His name and God to join Christ and the church together as one. Is that spiritual mysticism? Is that spooky and hard to understand? Or is it something we see every single day? Then why do people make it hard, Thomas?
Because it's their will.
Yeah. Yeah, because God did everything. All you did was agree to it. Isn't that what happened when you got married?
Yeah.
How much of your actions joined you together?
No.
None. How much, Lisa, how much of your actions joined you together?
None.
How much of your acceptance for an act for God's action joins you together? God did it. You guys, all you did was accept that that's the fact. Isn't that what happened? And then the one thing that you have to have, and that's proven by marrying somebody, and it ain't love. Can people who don't love each other marry each other?
Oh, yeah.
Oh yes. There's one thing that married the marriage ceremony proves to everybody else. What it proved to everybody, Thomas, you trust her. Isn't that what it proves beyond a shadow of a doubt?
Yeah.
What you did is said, all that I have and all that I am and all that I ever will have, I'm going to put in your hand. And the only way you'd ever do that is because you trust her. Take care of her. Same with her. Everything she is, everything she has, and everything she ever will be, she put in your hand because she trusts you. And isn't that what we said the whole meaning of the word belief is? Pistio, faith, trust. So that's God's will, that we show our trust in God's promise by going through the legal ceremony, which is what marriage and adoption is all about, and trusting that God joins us together with the church. And then Mark 10:9, what God has joined together, let no man separate. God joined you to the church through a legal ceremony that He set up. Now, what does whosoever believes in Him shall have everlasting life? You understand what it means now? It means to act, action, based upon God's will, in complete trust. Is that what happened when you were baptized, Tyler?
Yeah.
Now, how does that measure up, or how does that stack up to accept belief means accept something as a fact? Does that do it? No. Well, just action based on your belief. It doesn't work, does it? How many people think that whosoever believes in Him is just accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior? That has nothing to do with what Scripture says. How many people believe that believing in Him for everlasting life is just acting upon your beliefs? For everybody else. And what's that going to get them? Depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of lawlessness. You know, the only ones that actually believe in Him for everlasting life, they act upon God's will and complete trust. How much of themselves do they put into it?
None.
Isn't that why you're giving grace, Thomas?
Yes.
Grace given on your efforts, not grace. Grace given to you for you doing nothing is grace. How much of your effort put you in, joined you to the church in Jesus Christ?
None.
This is what belief means. That's what whosoever believes means. To believe in Jesus Christ, first, you must know God's will. Period. The end. If you're going to say, I believe in Jesus, I believe in Scriptures, I believe, I believe, I believe, the first thing you have to know is God's will. If you don't know God's will, it doesn't matter what you believe. You understand what I just said? And how do you know God's will? The book. Study. Test. Talk to people. Ask other people. What do you think that means? Go through it. Show up. And let us go over it. You know, as many times a week as you can possibly do. And you'll know God's will. Number one, to believe in Jesus, you must first know God's will concerning how we are to be saved by Jesus in the legal covenant. If you don't know that, believe anything you want. Believe anything you want. Believe that good people go to heaven. Believe that you're going to be an angel someday. Believe any of that stuff. What's it going to get you?
Yeah.
Nothing. Because you didn't understand what believe means and whosoever believes. The idea that to believe in Jesus, second, one must trust what God says about this ceremony as a fact. To know God's will of being saved by Jesus in a legal covenant ceremony, which is taking His name, and then to trust what God says about going through that ceremony, and then third, to live by what Jesus said to all who would have eternal life in John 3. What did Jesus say? He said, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, and he who does not obey the Son will not see life. What do you say? Let me say it again. Listen to what he says. This is the same chapter, John 3. Same chapter. Whosoever believes. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So, Thomas, how about if you understand God's will, that we're saved by a legal covenant ceremony, baptism, and you trust that God has joined you to the church, and you completely base all your salvation on God's promise, and then do what you want.
You got to the door. It
doesn't work, does it? When you married Lisa, that means now you can do whatever you want.
No, sir.
What do you mean, no, sir? Isn't that what Lisa thinks?
No.
What does Lisa think?
I better not do anything that I want.
You better not. Same with her. What if Lisa said, well, now I'm your wife, I can do anything I want? It won't work, will it? No. Once you become a Christian, once you go through the legal ceremony that God established to join you to the church, you're baptized, you're raised up, your sins are forgiven, you have the Holy Spirit put in indwelling in you, and then what do you do? Anything you want. What do you do, Thomas? What did you say? Obey. Yeah, the one word people hate the most. Obey. It says those who do not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Well, how do you obey the Son, Thomas? Yeah. Well, it's simple. I'll give you the one command, John 13:34. A new command I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. So what's the command that we have to obey once we become Christians? Love one another as He's loved us. How's that working out, Tommy?
A lot of work.
So you got grace. Grace is time to get it right. How much time are you going to need? Eternity?
It's going to take a while.
That's what we got. That's the whole point. To believe in Him, to have everlasting life, it's to know God's will, to trust what God says about it, and then to do as your Lord says. Love each other as I have loved you. What's confusing about this?
Nothing, but if preachers told the congregation that, then people wouldn't show up. So.
Can you love your brethren and not show up for assembly?
No.
So do I have to threaten you if you don't show up for church? Or do I have to just say Jesus' command that you should obey is to love each other? If you love each other, where are you going to be on Sunday? Yeah, right here. If you love each other, obeying Jesus, where are you going to be Sunday night? Wednesday night. Or work on it. Get it right. You've got time to get it right. Well, Thomas, what about tongues and healings and spiritual gifts? Doesn't Jesus command us to show those things, to show our faith? No. Well, then why do people put so much emphasis on tongues and healings and spiritual gifts? The whole point is obey Jesus. When did He once command us to speak in tongues or to heal or to work spiritual miracles? When did Jesus ever command one Christian to do that? Not one time. So do tongues and healings and all that stuff, does that have anything to do with obeying Jesus? No. Not in the slightest. So why do they put such an importance on it?
Because that's their will.
Yeah, and there's a reason. All the spiritual gifts of supernatural effects were given by the Holy Spirit as He chose through the apostles laying on hands. That's Scripture. How many apostles are alive today to lay on their hands?
None.
So how many people have spiritual gifts, supernatural spiritual gifts?
None.
Well, why does everybody say they do? Yeah. And you know why? Here's what Paul said about it. Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. If you read the verse Corinthians 13, he says that prophecy and tongues and spirit knowledge will all pass away. That's what he said. If there's tongues or healings, all these spiritual gifts, they will all pass away. In fact, Paul equates these to childish things which the church should put away once it reaches maturity. Did y'all ever read that verse? When I was a child, I spake as a child, reasoned as a child, but when I became grown, I put away childish things. Do you know what the childish things are that he's talking about? Spiritual gifts. Read it. Read what it says. Spiritual gifts are childish things because the church was brand new. And they needed childish things. They reasoned as children. They acted as children. Spiritual gifts are childish. And a church that's mature has all those things put away. You don't need it. Now, tell me, Thomas, all the people who go after tongues and healings and miracles and spiritual gifts, what does Paul say about all those people? They are little children. They're childish. What does God say about His people remaining childish? I'll cut you off. You see? Paul says it's childish. All the spiritual gifts are childishness that a grown person doesn't need. Now think about it. Isn't it only children that need a constant supply of their parents' gifts and attention to feel secure and comfortable? Penny? Does Alex and Cheyenne kind of demand a constant supply of you giving them things and your attention and just a constant, never-ending supply of gifts of your time and effort and everything you are? What about if they were like that when they're 21? It would be stupid, wouldn't it? It'd be sick. It'd be twisted. It'd be wrong. You understand what spiritual gifts are? Spiritual gifts were childish things that the brand new church had in the first century. If churches are supposed to be mature now, mature children do not demand a constant supply of their parents' gifts and attention in order to feel secure and comfortable. Matter of fact, a mature child, when Alex and Cheyenne get to be 20, 24, 25, it's not that they're always seeking gifts from you to feel secure that you love them. They're going to be wanting to give you back and give you gifts to show how much they love you. You understand where the church is supposed to be today? All these churches clamoring after healings and tongues and spiritual knowledge and spiritual spookiness and providence, all that stuff, they are childish, immature Christians who do not have the slightest idea what God's will is. Would that get me in trouble, Thomas, if I told that? Paul said it. Paul said that all that spiritual, charismatic, Pentecostal nonsense is childish nonsense. And a grown church should have no need whatsoever of all that spiritual hoo-ha. Isn't that what he said? So then why do people clamor after it? And not only that, this childish mindset is based on belief. The more you believe, the more power, spiritual power you have. Have y'all heard that? The more you believe, the more that you can be healed, the more you can have understanding, the more you can speak in tongues. The more you believe, the more will happen what you want to happen. Now, that proves the childishness of this mindset, because that's Tinkerbell logic. Y'all ever thought about that? It's Tinkerbell logic. What were the children told about healing Tinkerbell? Believe. Believe in what? Believe and clap your hands. Y'all do know this story, right? You don't know the story? Well, what happens is Tinkerbell's hurt, and Peter Pan says, if you believe, and the more you believe, and clap your hands to show you believe, and the more you believe, Tink will be okay. The idea here is the more you believe in something, the more you can get what you want, or the more it will happen what you want to happen. How many people think that that's Christianity? That's childish nonsense. That's not what believe means in the slightest, is it? Not in the slightest. It's childish Tinkerbell nonsense. The whole point is using spiritual gifts in Corinth. The ones who were using spiritual gifts in Corinthians were the ones who were disobeying Jesus' command to love each other. They don't think about that, do they? So believing in Jesus with maturity is not to think about spiritual gifts and miracles and that sort of thing, but to think about how you can show how much you love each other. Does that make sense? Why don't we teach that? Huh? That's what the book teaches. Whosoever knows God's will in Christ, acts upon His will obediently, and then trusts God's promises based on that action is the one that whosoever believes in Him. You guys understand? That's what believe means there, because we ran through the Scriptures. Anyone that uses belief to act any other way as they desire in Jesus' name is working lawlessness. Now, Thomas, how many people are working lawlessness out there? And they would tell you that it's their belief that makes things happen. Just shake your head and go, Tinkerbell logic. And see what they say. Belief. You guys know what God's will is? Well, I do for me. Stop that. Do you know what God's will is? For everyone. What's His will for everyone? To take Jesus' name in a legal ceremony and trust that that name will save them and not anything they ever do. And then to show you your thankfulness, your gratitude, obey your Lord, which is love one another the way I've loved you. Now, how hard is what I've just said? How difficult to understand? Pretty straightforward, isn't it? But childish people run to childish things. And they use belief in a way it's never been used in Scripture, and they work lawlessness, and they call it God's will. And they're going to have to answer for it. But you guys, you know the truth? You know what belief means now? So trust Him. Trust everything He said. If He says turn the other cheek, what do you do, Thomas?
Turn the other cheek.
Turn the other cheek. He says go the extra mile, what are you going to do? If He says love people that hate you, trust Him enough to do it. If He says do good things to people that do bad things to you, trust Him enough to do it. If He says repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, what do you say? Yes, sir. Anything else, you don't believe in Jesus Christ and you face the consequences. Any questions, comments, corrections? Anything else needs to be brought up? All right, let's join hands down the aisle.